Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And happy birthday, America. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren this morning for the sermon titled Simple Words. Now, I have some information for you. This is very important stuff. I have learned that there are hymns that you are to sing while driving. And I would like to tell you what hymns you are to sing. First of all, if you're driving at 45 miles an hour, you will sing the hymn, Highways Are Happy Ways. At 55 miles an hour, you will sing, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. Beautiful, beautiful hymns. At 65 miles an hour, the hymn to sing is, Nearer My God to Thee. At 75 miles an hour, the hymn that you will be singing is, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There. And my favorite hymn at my normal speed of 85 miles an hour is to sing, Lord, I'm Coming Home. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. They are to be absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown and all that political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. As we delve into your word today, as we come into what sermon, what words, what leadings you would have me utter for us to grow from, let us hear them. Let us not think about what we must do when we leave this building. Let us be here now, surrounded through the Holy Spirit, thankful, Father, that you have given us this area, this structure, this family to be together with. We surrender it all to you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all of his children prayed, saying, Amen. Simple words. And I guarantee you, those are not the words that get read this weekend. That is the conclusion of the Declaration of Independence. Simple words. Simple words. We all know what simple words are, don't we? Like, please. Please is a very simple word. I find myself saying that word a lot. Please, may I have just a little bit more time in the man store where they sell tractor parts while my wife sits there like this. Yet, when we go to, what is the store that we go to? Kohl's. When we go to Kohl's, I'm expected to go in that store with the cart with her purse in it and guard her purse while she goes through the dress line and looks at all 7,000 of them. And all I want to do is look at some bolts and nuts at the hardware store, and we've got to go. But I say, please, 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 thank you. Thank you is simple words. And they can be uttered so simply. I saw a sign today. No, I'm sorry, I saw it yesterday. I saw a sign out front of a business that says, Being kind and saying thank you cost $0. I thought that's wonderful. How about if we say, here, take mine. I try to share food, especially the food I don't like. If somebody puts string bean casserole on my plate, I'm like, here, take all you want. I'm sorry. Those are two words that are so simple. And I forgive you. Please let me help. Please. Last week, Wendy and I have now graduated from being newlyweds 22 years ago to being parents 19 years ago to now the kids are grown and they're doing their thing. They have jobs and they do their thing. And now we're newlyweds again. We're teenagers. We get to go out on dates. And date nights are things like, let's go to Sam's Club because we're out of stuff for the house. That's date night. And so I always try to make it fun. When we go into the store, I get inside the Sam's Club and I separate myself from my wife and I make sure that she's just far enough away that when I'm in the meat department, I can holler over there, please, can I have some more ribs to take home one day? And all these people turn around and look, and she just pushes into another aisle. And date nights consist of things like, hey, we got to go fill up the gasoline jugs for the lawnmower. Let's get in the truck and go to the other end of town. But we usually try to, at least on one of the date nights, go to a restaurant. And we went to a restaurant this past week where the sign on the door said, please be kind to our staff. We don't have enough help and we're doing the best we can. And when we got in the restaurant and sat down, the young man that came to serve us walked up and the first words out of his mouth was, please understand, I have a bunch of tables and I'm busy and I'll do the best I can. And I said, hold it. You just take your time. Just make sure I don't leave here hungry. And he laughed and we had a good time. Those are simple words. Simple words, and yet they have more weight than can be measured in the densest part of any atmosphere in time and space. They carry power. They carry structure. They carry everything. When you say please to someone and mean it, when you say thank you or here, take mine, I'm sorry, here. I was told of this story. I got to tell you this story because it just, this is how it goes. Things go in my head. I never knew Phil Snodderly. And Phil was a magnificent force in his church and left us to go see God just shortly before I got here. I really wish I could have known Phil because I can tell you right now, me and him would have had a ball. If any of the stories I heard is true, we would have had a good time. But Phil, a story was told about Phil. And I'm not sure who told me the story, so I'm sorry if I miss you, especially if you're sitting in this room. But they went to see Brother Charles. Yes, Brother Charles, I'm talking to you, and I know you're watching. They went on a mission to Brother Charles to work to help build a building. No, I'm not coming. And when they got done, Phil had on a pair of work boots, and they didn't have. And Phil told him, here, take mine, because they were almost brand new, and he wore his sneakers home, and he left his work boots behind for somebody to use to continue on that work so that their feet didn't get cut up. Here, take mine. I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Please let me help. Those words have weight, and they have meaning. And the words that come at the end of the Declaration of Independence for this country are the first time, and I'll tell you this, I've never read them that much, never paid attention to them till I was prepping this sermon. And then I read them, and I read them, and I read them, and I read them again, and again, and again. And I'm telling you, I sat there and read those things with tears rolling down my face, especially the line, and for support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we, the 56 men that signed this declaration, utter words that are now ours to keep 246 years later and to use. We, me, you, everyone, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And let me just tell you right now, those 56 men lived to that last part. 56 of them, five signers, were captured by British and tortured. They were tortured as traitors. And I'm not going to go into what got done to them, but I've read it. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost sons in the Revolutionary Army. 2 had sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. For these simple words, they signed, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? They were simple men. Now, 24 were lawyers and jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers, men of means, well-educated and not well-educated. They signed knowing that the penalty of death hung right over their head. Carter Braxton, who was a wealthy planter and trader and had boats, ships, saw them burned, saw them taken away. He died penniless. Thomas McKean was so hounded that he was forced to move his family constantly. He was kept in hiding and died in poverty. Vandals looted properties of Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. Francis Lewis had his home and property destroyed. They put his wife in jail, and she died there. Because he put his name to these simple words. John Hart's wife was dying, and he had to leave her because the British were coming. 13 of their children fled for their lives. His grist mills were burned. He had to live in a cave and die. So many stories were the sacrifices of the men that signed that document and the men and women that carried it out. And I've talked about him before. But my favorite hero of all of the men that signed it was Thomas Nelson Jr. of Virginia. Thomas Nelson had a large, big old farm. And he cared for the land, and he was a steward of the land, and he went to school to understand the land, and he continued to try to serve his duty for his country in this newly fledgling country. And as it was formed, he became governor of Virginia. And George Cornwallis, General Cornwallis, came to his farm and took it over because of its proximity to the river, to the water, because of how flat the land was. He could feed and make his army fat, and he came and took it over. And Thomas Nelson had to watch that from a distance until the Continental Army arrived and George Washington walked up to him and put an arm around his shoulder. I've read this story, and there's historians out there that'll tell you it ain't true. Yet there's more that will. And said, "What shall we do?" And Thomas turned away and said, "Fire on my house. Get him out. Level it." And the guns and the artillery of the Continental Army laid siege to Thomas Nelson's home and property. Now the house still stands, but it's not without fair knowledge looking at it of the musket balls and cannon balls that tore through that house to run him out. He lost everything and died broke. And for those simple words, I'm sorry. I'm often told, don't get sentimental up here. But I cannot help it. I get lost in the poetry and the passion of what this country means to me. Every day we use the simplest words to convey many things, and often we do not get the weight they carry. You can never tell when you say thank you to someone. You just don't know. You don't know what that day has been in store for them or when you say please, or when you say, can I help you? My wife and I are the greatest dish stackers on the face of this planet. We could win the Guinness Book World Series championship of table dish stacking. We could stack up dishes so high and so careful that you can carry them back to the kitchen on top of one finger. Because when we sit at the table and we get done eating, we carefully stack everything so that the servers only have to come and they can pick everything up like that. And we take pride in it. We're the stacking Leathermans. And the fellow said, thank you for helping me. Today we do things a little different. I've got everybody's attention because I failed to follow the script, Paul. Paul, what are you doing? You've changed. We don't like change. Don't do this to us. We're lost. You didn't do everything like you normally do. Right. Turn your Bibles now. I want you to hear the simplest of simple words for our freedom. John chapter 19, starting in the 28th verse. Verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. 246 years ago, words came forth that broke us from the bondage of a government that saw fit to keep us thumbed down. 246 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Three simple words, and I don't know Aramaic, and I maybe should learn some Aramaic so I can mess up that language like I do every other language that is foreign to me, including most of the time the English language. But three words. It is finished. Jesus Christ died on a cross to give us our freedom. Words that we never deserved, that we were never worthy of. And we look at those three verses. I'm not drawing it out. I'm not going into big, long, drawing out scriptures today and trying to wow and dazzle you with the wonderness that is the poetry of my head. Because half the time it doesn't make sense anyways. I want you to focus on those simple words. I want you to focus on the fact that Jesus Christ knew where he was going to go. And I'm not talking about at 12 years old. I'm talking about since the earth was formed. Genesis makes reference to him being there. He knew. He always knew. And one day, he walked away from all the riches in glory. Riches in glory. We sing all these wonderful songs about heaven and the riches in glory. And we make comments and we talk about, oh, what a day in heaven that'll be. Or, oh, what the feast will be. Or, oh, what we'll see. We're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to go up to gates that are lined with pearls. And we're going to look at walls of jade. And we're going to see emeralds and rubies. And all of these things that we sought, all of these riches are going to be nothing. All of this was his, is his, and yet he signed his name to the Declaration of Human Independence when he crawled onto that tree and gave it all and said those simple words, it is finished, and died, so much so in poverty, that when he came down, he didn't even have a place to lay his beautiful head. You don't need a long, drawn-out dissertation of the Bible to understand what this country comes from. Yes, I'm glad for this country. The 6th President of the United States, the son of the 2nd President of the United States, as we all well good know, is my favorite president. John Quincy Adams said, and I quote in his memoirs, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." That's it. Those words. Every single day, I am glad of those words. Every time I think about what Jesus did, he took me out of myself. He broke my own chains. My own chains that I forged on my own, thank you very much. I didn't need anybody's help to make a mess out of my life. I did it very well, and I'm not proud of it. And just like the rest of us did, he came then, now, and always with the simple words, "It is finished," to break us free. When they signed that declaration, yes, it was a declaration, and it was a listing, by this, by that, and thus and thou, and so forth, and whereupon, and all that good old American English speak at the time. It came down to the simple words, "Our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors." It came down to Jesus when he said those words, "It is finished." "Your life, your honor, your everything, I will give you." There's a lot of patriotic songs that we sing on the 4th of July, right? America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious... That's the same song, ain't it? Well, I'm telling y'all, I made a mess out of that one. What's some of the other ones? The Battle Hymn of the Republic. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." All these patriotic songs to remind us, and all of these patriotic songs remind us that we are one nation under God, founded on the principles of Jesus Christ, to worship however we wanted, but to understand that the guiding force was Jesus himself. His words that were simple, yet so full of weight, guided us to our independence. But I think, and I'm going to call my congressman tomorrow, because my congressman loves it when I call him. They've got a special thing on that phone down there at the Congress office that says when my name comes up, "Is it Paul Leatherman?" "Yeah, that's him again." "Well, just put him to the recording." And the recording goes like this: "We thank you, Paul Leatherman, for calling us once again today. This will be your 11th time today that you've called to complain about something. Please leave a message and we'll never get back to you." But I'm going to call because I think that a patriotic song for us Christians who love this country and understand what it means that we have gotten this freedom, this patriotic song ought to be included when we think of Jesus Christ and the three words, the simple words, and what he did. Would anybody like to know what that patriotic song is? You're not going to answer me? How about you on the other side of the camera? Shake the camera or something. Would anybody like to know? Say, "Yes, Pastor Paul."
"Yes, Pastor Paul."
This is the patriotic song. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak," go ahead, "but he is strong." "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." The simplest words. "It is finished." In Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among them the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." The simple words that give us independence and freedom. May we be ever knowledgeable. May we be blessed by it. May we grow from it. God bless the United States of America. And thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us what we have, that you have taken away what we don't need, but that you saved us by giving us your Son. By his simple words, Father, we were given an independence that allowed us to bring forth a country that based itself in the same direction. Let us be mindful to ever turn back to that and be strengthened by those words. Let us remember to thank you every day through your Son for this country, for our lives, for the message, for the simple words. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. As we sing the last hymn, I ask you that if you need it, the bench is open. And on the other side of the camera, may God bless and keep you in all things.